From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Jockulation with your host, LB Faust. Jockulation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Jockulation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show.
Yeah, what a great way to go ahead and start the show. Go ahead and grab a punk song about heroin. I mean, what better way to start it, right? Hey, it's Friday. How the hell are you? I'm LP Faust. I'm your host this evening. And it's been a fun and interesting week, sort of, kind of, I guess. At least putting the show together has been kind of interesting. So we have a couple of developments that have occurred over inside of the world of the Faustini over here. Ultimately, what we're doing is, I was putting together a show, and, you know, Spotify kindly puts together playlists and shit for me. Occasionally they get it right, most of the time they don't. But that's all right. We can't go ahead and necessarily expect that they're going to get it right all the time. I mean, is that right over there? I mean, what do you think, Carlos, huh?
No.
We can't expect that. Why? Because of that climax week. Oh, jeez. You know, interesting you should go ahead and bring that up, because there's a whole section a little bit later in the show about something very close to that particular subject. So, you know, it wouldn't be a show like Jockulation if it didn't have that. I mean, would it? I would.
How about you?
Of course not. Now, where was I? Oh, yeah. So, Spotify was so kind, and it puts together all these wonderful tracks and ideas for me. You know, the great Faustini over here, to go ahead and put together some kind of a playlist, because let's be real, folks, the show's not really about the music, right? I mean, at least I don't think so. Hey, is the show really about the music over there?
Because, how about new?
Yeah, I think we could just do a bunch of playlists, listen to a bunch of shit over here. But the best part of the thing is, right, as I'm clicking through my thing, I come across this thing that says Jazz Mix on it. I'm like, what the fuck is that all about? And I'm like, very curious, unsure of what's in there. So I'm like, let me go ahead and take a look, because I actually do like jazz. And next thing I know, I'm taking a look at what, you know, Spotify considers to be jazz. And I mean, it's got Nat King Cole, Norah Jones. It's got Ella Fitzgerald, Louis Armstrong, all the things you'd expect to see in there, including a few additions like Red Peters and Richard Cheese, that I would have never in my life expected. So I go ahead and I put up this innocent little post about it that says, you know, the moment when Spotify made for you jazz playlist that includes Red Peters and Richard Cheese with Louis Armstrong, Ella Fitzgerald, and Frank Sinatra, I think the AI needs a pimp slap reboot. Hashtag fail, hashtag laugh out loud, hashtag funny in Spotify. So I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know what we're going to do? Let me go ahead and put this over on Facebook and make it a promoted post on my Facebook page. So I go ahead, and generally when I send stuff over to do promoted posts on Facebook and Instagram, it takes like, I don't know, 3 hours, 4 hours for them to get back to me and say, hey, it's not offensive, so we can just go ahead and put it up there, right? And then, of course, this one took all of, I don't know, like maybe 15 minutes before the rejection came back to me. And they said, hey, you know that post that you were going to put up there?
How about new?
Yeah, get it the fuck out of here, dude, because it's too offensive. And I'm like, what? What's so offensive about it? And I started to look at the titles, and like the one right off the top from Red Peters, When I Jerk Off, I Think of You. I'm like, yeah, that might be a little offensive. And then Baby Stay the Fuck Away from Me from Richard Cheese. Okay, I could see where that might be a little bit of a problem. So in the end, did we wind up going ahead and getting our promoted post out there at all, Carlos? I'm just wondering. I mean,
No.
So again, it's just going to sit there and be a continuous like slog, gradually, slowly attempting to go ahead and put together some kind of promotion, because who the hell's going to come here on a Friday night? So thank you, Facebook, for making this infinitely more difficult. And Twitter, fuck you too, by the way. So let's go ahead and actually get into the show, shall we? because there's a whole lot more. Oh, my God. So the best part about it is, also on Twitter, like my alter ego is over there, I guess. So on Twitter, I'm sitting here, and all of a sudden, like, some message pops up from Ron, and it's got, like, lots of activity. And I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? And it turns out that he messages some guy. I don't know who it is. I'm sorry, Ron. I'm terrible with that sort of stuff, aren't I? At any rate, he messages some guy, leaves some comment in there, and the conversation starts going, oh, yeah, I remember. It was all about, hey, do you guys ever find that you need a pee bottle for when you go ahead and actually do your live streams? You know, because they just seem to go on forever. And then Ron goes ahead and makes a comment, and then I turn around and I'm like, yeah, Ron, you know, with your shows running like 4 to 6 hours on average, you probably have like a gallon jug of pee sitting right next to you during the entire show. Is that about right? And Ron just, and then the other guy's like, ha, 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 that's funny. And then, you know, it goes on and on. Well, what do we learn about Ron during this whole thing is, you know, the best part about it is that you learn that Ron kind of has a fetish for golden showers and he urinates in bottles during his show. But you know what the best part about this is? He actually goes ahead and he's unwittingly engaged in like a training program to become an Amazon delivery driver. Bro, let me tell you something. Hey, you know, everybody's got to have a side hustle over here. And you're asking yourself probably right now, okay, LP, wait a second. Amazon drivers and freaking golden showers? What the fuck are we talking about right now? No problem. Amazon right now apparently has a problem with all their workers being forced to piss in bottles because of what's going on. So apparently journalist and author James Bloodworth reported that what he saw after going undercover in an Amazon warehouse in Staffordshire, UK, where he found horrendous conditions in which some workers were forced to pee in bottles. Quote, people just peed in bottles because they lived in fear of being disciplined over idle time and losing their jobs just because they needed the loo. Oh, my God. How dare you?
Fuck?
So, of course, Amazon felt compelled to reflexively projectile vomit a tweet which did not explicitly deny the allegation, but instead implied you'd have to be an idiot to believe such a story, right? So what happens? They put up there, they say, you don't really believe that peeing in bottles thing, do you? If that were true, nobody would work for us. The truth is, we have over 1 million incredible employees around the world who are proud of what they do and have great wages and health care from day one. Hey, Carlos, do we believe a word of this shit? I mean, I'm just asking.
No.
And of course, why would I go ahead and actually defend Amazon if there was nothing to this allegation, right? Well, shortly after that happened, of course, what winds up happening? The proverbial floodgates open as a virtual shitstorm of Amazon workers piled in to share their own stories of pissing in bottles and defecating in paper bags, per The Verge, complete with pictures where words alone wouldn't do. Any sort of justice whatsoever, right? I know. LP, do you actually have the links? Of course I do. Just hold on. And speaking of The Verge, according to the article that was referenced, The Intercept added yet more evidence to the mounting case against Amazon. The most damning reveal is that Amazon was made aware of this because it began reprimanding employees for behavior when the bottles and bags were left inside the delivery vehicles. Whoops! Uh-oh! So what happens? The Intercept gets a hold of the actual internal memo. Here we go, kids. This is the fun part. Okay, we've got somebody from like, I forget what his fucking title is. It's in here somewhere, but let's just read, kids, shall we? Here we go. Quote, we've noticed an uptick of recently of all kinds of unsanitary garbage being left inside bags. Used masks, gloves, bottles of urine, reads the email from the Amazon logistics manager provided to the Intercept by a Pittsburgh area employee who probably doesn't work there anymore. But, quote, by scanning the QR code on the bag, we can easily identify the DA who was in possession of the bag last. These behaviors are unacceptable and result in Tier 1 infractions going forward. Please communicate this message to your drivers. I know if it may seem obvious or like something you shouldn't need to coach, but please be explicit when communicating the message that they cannot, in caps, poop or leave bottles of urine inside bags. Holy shit, kids. This is just fucking fantastic. Are you ready? So I'm waiting for Amazon to do everything except the right thing. You know, like embrace the Idiocracy movie solution of installing the Lazy Boy recliner with the shitter built in rather than actually giving their drivers an opportunity to shit somewhere other than inside of a paper bag in the fucking delivery van. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, hey. Corporate America, man. I mean, who would have thought that one of the perks of signing up to become an Amazon delivery driver, you would automatically be enrolled in the van life movement? But, like, a Survivor reality TV show edition of the van life movement, right? I mean, could you imagine what's in store for, like, when Bezos discovers the Naked and Afraid reality TV series? The drivers are going to have to fabricate their own fucking uniforms and OSHA-required safety gear from packing tape and packaging scraps forged amongst the boxes of the back of the fucking truck. And just like Naked and Afraid, you don't get any money for surviving the end of the shift. Just some shitty alternative form of a primitive survival rating. It's called the Stops Per Hour Report, which, by the way, does actually fucking exist, which ranks you against all the other van life or Amazon drivers to indicate how likely you are to succeed at keeping your job. The best part about being in the van life or Amazon driver series is that, just like with Naked and Afraid, you get a bunch of, like, nearly fatal injuries which may require treatment and medical bills for the rest of your life. But at least your misery provided some excellent reality TV for, like, Big Brother watching the video from the other side of the cameras inside the delivery vans. Right? Freaking catheters. Oh, my God. Somehow I wouldn't be surprised to see if this is a new series coming to Amazon Prime this fall. I'm sure that, like, somewhere amidst the bullshit 8,000 pages of the application you fill out, there's, like, a consent to film and a model release form included. You know what I'm saying? I mean, holy fucking shit. And yes, thank you, AMR, for going ahead and putting that up. That would be the actual scene from inside of Idiocracy, with the recliner chair with the built-in shitter. Holy fucking shit. So, like, you know, given all the bullshit and abuse the van life for Amazon drivers receive for their McJob, why not just transfer to a job with, like, similar levels of abuse, but with, like, the added benefit of the potential, but not promise, of becoming rich just by abandoning all your moral principles? I mean, as I understand it, like, Goldman Sachs will have some, like, vacancies in the very near future. I mean, speaking of abandoning, like, all moral principle, right? When we talk about this, I wanted to pee like a boy. And speaking of abandoning, like, all moral principle, yes, there's actually going to be some vacancies over at Goldman Sachs very soon, because, like, we've got to talk about things like, you know, we got to, like, take a look at the whole thing, right? Our story here begins with the reincarnation of, like, the Sun King himself and the legend of his own mind, David Solomon, who took over the reins of, like, Goldman Sachs from Lloyd Blankfein and became CEO right before the pandemic. Now, we could go through all the shit that he went ahead and did and the fortune that he effectively inherited and what a dick he was during this entire time, but we won't. Let's just fast forward to what happens when they actually make urinals, too. But we won't, man. What we'll do is we'll just fast forward to the pandemic. So they're making record freaking buttloads amount of money. Pandemic comes. Everybody's got to work from home because, you know, everything's locked down. So before you know it, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, like, David Solomon or whatever the fuck this dude's name is comes up and he's like, you know something? I think that working from home has run amok. And Solomon blasted the working from home as an aberration that needs to be fixed, and informed his staff during an all-hands Zoom call that the bank's thousands of workers who have been mostly working from home will absolutely be back in the offices by summer. So Bloomberg's account of Solomon's encounter with a junior banker. Now, here's what's interesting. When this is going on, Solomon goes out and he's eating over at one of his establishments, one of his dining places. And as he's eating over at his dining place, one of his pleb junior bankers happens to come up and introduce himself and, like, the other pleb bankers do, you know, work like 100-hour work weeks and shit like that, and actually manage to get out and see some sunlight for a second. They bump into him and they're like, hey, you know, I'm so-and-so, good to meet you, glad I'm working here. So apparently Bloomberg's account of Solomon's encounter with these plebs in the Hamptons, no less, Goldman Sachs' boss, this dickhead, Solomon, has told his lieutenants that because of that, the underlying walk up to the restaurant, what the heck? Oh, that they went ahead and came up to him in the middle of a workday week. And he pointed, and they pointed each other out and said, hey, here's who we are. And that, in fact, went ahead and triggered this reaction of, hey, man, I want my fucking plebs back over in the fields hoeing for 50 hours or whatever, 90 hours a week, because it's completely unacceptable to sit here and actually have them be out and about seeing sunlight. So now the funniest part about this is that, you know, he when they interviewed all the dozens of current and former senior executives, they found that they're all pissed off at this dude. So the boss apparently is now at risk of appearing out of touch because, you know, he's like pressing them to go to the office, and he's meanwhile grabbing the corporate jet and shooting off to the fucking Hamptons during the week so that he can DJ and all that sort of stuff.
I mean, what the fuck?
So one would think that this might have some ramifications. Well, apparently the junior traders about a week later decided, I've had enough. So a group of 13 of these dudes put a mock-up presentation in which they told of 95-hour work weeks and inhumane working conditions. And of course, normally what would happen, you disappear these guys, right? They can't be here. They're a cancer. We can't have these people actually questioning whether or not we're actually doing our job and whether or not they're being treated like human beings, should we? Because that would be a very bad thing, especially for us.
How about new?
So what winds up happening is it gets so bad that eventually Solomon has to address the raised concerns by these aggrieved bankers who claimed that 95-hour work weeks and abuse from coworkers had created inhumane working conditions. So Solomon said, of course, I'm taking those complaints very seriously and promise to improve the working conditions of the firm. Do we believe that for a second?
How about you?
But they were so serious that allegedly the team leaders at the bank paid out of their own pockets for one-off gift baskets full of fruit and snacks, because Goldman has not offered the company-wide gifts at all or any additional bonuses to these kids that are schlepping around over here. So one unidentified freaking staff member says Goldman should be doing more to recognize the grueling demands placed on the lowest ranking staff rather than just a gesture from the managers. And I mean, you know something to his point, he's got a point. But more importantly, let's go ahead and actually take a look at a couple of these things here. There's a few inconsistencies. I mean, is it me? Or does anyone else have the distinct impression we have a bald-faced lie in this story? As if Goldman team leaders would have enough empathy towards their employees, which they abuse worse than a tissue to clean up after masturbation, to actually like break down, open up their wallet and buy fruit baskets from their own personal funds. Do we think that that's actually true for a second? Fuck no, man. They're not doing that, right? I mean, that's almost as believable as the privacy settings on Facebook actually providing a measure of privacy you'd expect. Although I think I'd probably have more faith in that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking that really where the fruit came from and all those, you know, those fruit baskets, they weren't purchased by the managers. I mean, let's be real, man. It probably came from a waste bin and the doggy bag leftovers from the buffets David Solomon hit up while he was jet setting and playing Tyrant over in freaking Hamptons. You know what I'm saying? And competing firms have now decided, hey, guess what? There's a soft spot here. And they're taking a different approach. So Jefferies, which is another hedge fund, offered 1,124 of its lowest-ranking staff free workout equipment, including Peloton bikes worth nearly $2,000. I mean, does anybody here really want a fucking Peloton bike, right?
How about new?
But you know what you could do is you could just turn around and sell it on, like, fucking eBay or something like that and get your 2,000 pounds back. While investment bankers at Credit Suisse are getting a one-time $20,000 bonus for dealing with unprecedented workloads during this time, and you know what they're doing with that, they're probably turning around and buying Doge right now. That's probably what they're freaking doing, or crypto or something. But you know what the greatest part about this whole thing is? It's the tin ear of David Solomon and Goldman Sachs that makes me wonder if, like, the former marketing director from Adidas is now, like, David Solomon's sounding board. You do remember that unforgettable Boston Marathon email marketing campaign, don't you? Oh, you don't? No problem. Probably the greatest and most epic fail that there ever possibly was in the history of marketing. So Adidas decided that they wanted to congratulate people who had completed the 2017 Boston Marathon, right? So what did they do? The day after, they sent them a fantastic email that said, congrats, you survived the Boston Marathon. All right. Hold on a second. Let me grab my my sidecar here. Hey, look, we got another bot, too. That's okay. That ain't torture, man. So they said, hey, congrats, man. You survived the freaking Boston Marathon. And of course, the message was given tremendous amounts of backlash given the history of the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing. Whoops. Oh, come on now. Look, Anarchist is right there going, all right, listen, all you freaking bots, get the hell out of here already. Oh, check it out. Wait a minute. Anarchist is qualifying people over in the Theta TV room. Hey there, SL Heinz 7, I guess. Glad to see that there's, like, well, at least a living and breathing person in the digital world. Does that make sense? Look at that, kids. We've actually got our first, like, sort of physical person, sort of real person, quasi-qualified by Anarchist over here. Good to have you over here, Pixel Shocked. So what winds up happening, right? They went ahead and absolutely fucked that up, and then they're like, oh, shit, we put it on automated, delivery. We're so sorry. Clearly, there was no thought given to the insensitive email subject that was sent out. You know what I'm thinking, though? I'm thinking, like, Adidas missed a fantastic merch opportunity. You know what would have made this thing, like, totally epic and completely tone-deaf, but would have been if they had given away, like, a commemorative participation medal made from the recovered bomb shrapnel at the 2013 bombing. So effort to each and every person that freaking crossed the finish line, that would have been absolutely fan-fucking-tastic. Now Anarchist is shilling for attention. Hey, I'm over here. Come on, pay attention to me. I was the one that qualified him in the first place. Well, you know, Anarchist, because you're a regular, I mean, I'm sorry.
How about you?
Maybe we'll catch you after the break. Speaking of which, man, I'm going to have to take a break now because, well, there's whiskey over there, and it's asking me to. And I can't ignore it because, you know, it's my sidecar. This is ride shotgun with me. Some people have Jesus. I have a sidecar of whiskey. So I'll tell you what, man. We're going to take a break. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. And I'm way too fucking loud on this mic, I think. But that's okay, because it's my eardrums that are getting destroyed. You're listening to Joculation. Wow, man, I'm about to take a tack hammer to my freaking Spotify over here because, hey, Spotify, you think you're going to go ahead and cooperate with me this evening? I mean, that'd be really fantastic.
No.
Holy sheep shit. Man, oh, man. Well, we'll go ahead and have to just make it happen because that's just how it is. Hey, man, it's Friday night. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. You're listening to Joculation, or maybe not. Who knows? We'll see. Either way, I can keep myself entertained, too. As we in the beginning of the episode, we talked about, like, gigs and all kinds of shitty jobs and all that sort of stuff. And you know something? One of the things that kind of got me was I've been sitting here more and more taking pictures of my kids, primarily because of the fact that, like, you know, with this whole pandemic and, like, nobody being able to go ahead and go anywhere, people across the United States that I know and love are looking for pictures of my children. And it started to make me sit there and think a lot both about, one, pictures and Kodak moments, and two, about when they were born, because apparently what winds up happening, you know, most people get themselves like, hey, Fox, most people get themselves all, like, riled up and excited about taking lots of pictures of their kids when they're being born over inside of the delivery room. Now, was LP one of those type of people that wanted to go ahead and do that?
How about you?
Because I just didn't want to have, like, all kinds of weird shit appearing all over the internet and all over the interwebs, right? I think there are sites that are for that. I wasn't planning on building one of my own. So apparently, recently, there was a man who decided to go ahead and do exactly that. Take pictures of his kids being born because they're all kind of excited and all worked up. And the mother decided to go ahead and share her experience because her husband went ahead and sent a whole bunch of uncropped photos after their birth to the entire family. And, of course, this person is on where else but freaking TikTok, right? That, like, cultural trash heap repository thing. When freed, revealed that her partner had sent photos that were taken in the delivery room just moments after their little one was born to his, quote, whole family. But what he failed to notice was that his wife's hospital gown was still up around her waist, leaving everything below the hips to be shown. Now, the best part is he posts this up, and did this video actually just stay in one place, or did he? I mean, you know.
How about you?
Absolutely not. It's been viewed more than 715,000 times, and it's received more than 24,000 likes and 280 comments, right? I mean.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, let's hear it for social media sites, right? So she then shared the exact photo, explaining she was, quote, completely uncovered from the waist down, legs in the still up in stirrups, right? And of course, she put a shocked face emoji over her chooch. So the best part was not so much that she said that. The best part was when you go into the comments threads, because everybody had an opinion about it. One person said, quote, I thought this was going to be about your face, like looking disheveled after labor and not cropping you out of the pic, but this is so much better. Another one added, well, at least you know you're part of the family now, right?
You fucking fuckers!
But then what was even better is it goes further along. There's a few mothers out there who are encouraged to share their own experiences. So one woman came out and said, you know, I had an emergency C-section, and he sent them a picture of my daughter coming out of me. You could see my kidneys in the freaking background, man.
I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah, shit, man. Who the fuck is going to be on the other side of the curtain for a C-section? No, thank you. A second person commented, yep, pick of the baby on the scale with me getting stitched up in the background. Straight on view. Actually, you know what we need? We need nearly dead Ric Flair for that one, don't we? I mean, that's just, yeah. Just imagine, right? This was planned, and this was by a human being who intentionally went out and wanted to do this, to share this experience with everybody in their family in the world because they're so excited. Now, just imagine what horror awaits us when AI starts becoming extra helpful, making those memories for us, trying to be the four-year-old that wants to help you in the kitchen. I mean, what could possibly go wrong, right? Well, wonder no more, because yet another TikToker had some thoughts on this because she was horrified after she'd shared an embarrassing video. So in her now viral video, TikTok user Cora Tonin started by saying, this is a PSA for anybody who uses Google Photos or any app that has facial recognition. Let's stop there. If you have facial recognition on your fucking photos and shit, you are 80% of the goddamn problem, man. All right? You're fucking 80% of the problem. Oh, my God. So Google Photos, if you're unaware, features software that can recognize faces, meaning when you type in a familiar person's name, you can see the whole selection of photos and videos of them. From there, you can easily make an album of those results and send it to others. Now, Tonin used Google Photos to make it so anytime she added a photo of or video of her son, her mom would get an instant notification. What could possibly go wrong? Well, let's hear Miss Tonin's story here. Quote, a little while back, I decided I wanted to spice things up a little bit in my relationship. We can just stop right there and you can see where this is going. This is only going to end fucking badly, right? John Connor was leading the resistance against the fucking machines for a reason, but I digress, man. Here we go. I made a little R-rated video, and Google Photos picked up a very small picture of my son in the background of my fridge and said, hey, that's a picture of Josh. Let's send this video to Kara's mom.
I mean, what the fuck?
Great moments in. Ah, fuck, I'm in Google.
Fuck you fucking fuckers.
So at any rate, since she went ahead and decided to confess her embarrassment and let the world know what she did, because anytime I fuck up, I want to make a TikTok video so nope, it becomes viral, right? I mean, that's what I do.
How about new?
At any rate, so it's already racked up 3 million views on TikTok. And I'm just saying to myself, dude, what the fuck am I doing working so hard trying to actually go ahead and get a following when I could just make a stupid fucking video on TikTok about, hey, check out what a fucking ignorant idiot I am. Look, I put on the AI feature and I just let it do everything for me. And I'm wondering why my life is a disaster now. Google can detect a kid's face, but not the fact that there are titties in the vid. You know something, anarchist? Do you seriously think the Google people care enough to code that kind of stuff into their software? I'm just saying, you know, just...
How about new?
Not a chance, man. I mean, when you take a look at this good freaking Google stuff...
How dare you?
It's like, hey, let me help you out over here and make your life a fucking disaster. So, we don't have to worry about Google fucking everything up. all you have to do is have a very close resemblance to a celebrity, and the next thing you know, you've made life a disaster for not only you, but also the celebrity you look at. Case in point. Over the weekend, Amy Poehler, this woman who looked a lot like Amy Poehler from Parks and Recreation, apparently what happens is something she did went viral. People were pointing out the resemblance of an arrested Florida woman bore to the comedian Amy Poehler. Now, here's the greatest thing ever, and also the world's biggest disappointment. We'll get to that, but let's start with the greatest thing ever. The headline read, Miami stripper arrested for squirting vaginal fluids at police officers in self-defense. Let's do this again, kids. Miami stripper arrested for squirting vaginal fluids at police officers in self-defense. And I'm just asking myself,
what the fuck?
Dude, why you gotta read more? Holy shit. So then the first line comes up. A Florida lap dancer has been arrested in Miami after assaulting five police officers with her vagina and using it as a deadly weapon without the intent to kill. I was sitting there thinking to myself,
whoa!
Dude, we've got a fucking story here. This is great. And then I found out that it was actually not real. And I can't even begin to tell you how disappointed I was. I was like, oh my God, I need more of these stories. I was hoping that I would be able to open up a repository to all the freaking gold and stories that I could possibly have for like the next five fucking years on this show so I can just pull out all the most outrageous shit because it would have been great. But no, I was denied and we, my circle of intimacy, we were denied.
One of us, Kubel Gaba, yeah. One of us, we accept that one of us, Kubel Gaba, one of us, we accept that one of us.
So apparently what happens is it was a story that was written by World News Daily Report, a satirical website. The mugshot, however, depicts an actual woman who was arrested in Houston in 2008. In real life, she was not accused of the acts described in the World Daily News story report, which absolutely broke my fucking heart because I was sitting here. I was going out on a limb for you guys. I mean, it was nowhere near as awesome as the Miami story of everybody sexually assaulting the Christopher Columbus statue on Columbus Day that we talked about, you know, last year sometime. For those of you that were here with me, Circle of Intimacy, you know, where the police had to clear the crowds and they had to get in the paramedics to clean all the semen off the statue. It was hideously terrible and funny at the same time. And that story is, of course, it goes down in the annals of the listen to this, the annals, right? It goes down in the history books of joculation as one of the greatest stories that could ever happen. But I'm so freaking disappointed, and I'm saddened and disheartened to tell you, kids, unfortunately, this story is a bunch of bullshit, and I'm crushed.
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
So, you know, we'll have to go ahead and continue soldiering forth to find only the stories in the deepest, darkest recesses of humanity to bring them over to you so that you can look at me and say, LP, is that for real? And I can definitively say, you know, absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. But that's okay. One bad story, got a whole bunch more that are in queue. And you want to know what? Just like that, I got to take a break because I got to beat the shit out of Spotify here for a second. But that's okay. We'll get it fixed because why? It's Friday night. You're listening to Joculation. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. I'm the cultural attaché to the stars. I am the ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You know what? We'll attempt to listen to Joculation, but I don't know how cooperative Spotify is going to be. I'll tell you what. Let me go ahead and cock slap this thing. That is too funny, Julia, because when I actually try to open that link, Discord basically, when it pops up over inside of my browser, Discord's like, oh, what's your email or phone number and what's your password? And I'm like, am I going to log in again?
How about new?
Oh, my God. So what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to actually wait. But that's okay. I got to go ahead and have some entertainment for later. You guys get it now, I get some later. You know how it goes. So it is what it is. Hey, listen, man, it's Joculation. It's Friday night. You know how it goes. Well, we're here by the circle of... let's try that again. There we go. We're actually here with the Circle of Intimacy and with a freaking Spotify that is being a bit of a dick this evening, but that's okay. We'll endure.
One of us. Google gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
Like a scared turtle. Anarchist, we're going to have you go into Theta and validate that all of these people, and I'm going to say that in air quotes, all of these people are actually real. Because we got a whole bunch of bots waving high that are generally farming Theta fuel. Hey, J-Ben, 1300. Are you for real? I'm just axing for a friend over here. You know what I mean? Thank you, anarchist. See, J-Ben's a bot. So, hey, J-Ben, we're not interested in waving back at you, okay? The real people already left. They left when Spotify was crashing a little bit earlier. So, it's cool, man. Great to have you. Go back to your master and let him know, hey, guess what? Or her. Because we don't want to be sexist here. You know what I'm saying? All right, so what are we at right now? So we got disappointed and our souls were crushed by the fact that the Amy Poehler story and her using her vagina to assault cops with her vaginal fluids turned out to be a fake. That was terrible. We were just so disappointed. But we need to address a great big sort of like problem in the room. Don't assume gender. I don't know, man. I should just call everybody they at this point. Probably. Blink if you're a real human. We have to address a fundamental problem here. For some reason or other, it seems like everybody lately in different countries has been getting their penis stuck inside nuts that they've been buying from a fucking hardware store, which leads to a lot of questions outside of, you know, the obvious, which is how in the hell did you even manage to go ahead and fit it in there? So case in point, we have yet another person over in the Ukraine after we talked about our gentleman from Thailand last week that went ahead and got his nuts caught inside of a nut because, well, he was trying to go ahead and increase the girth and the width of his penis because he figured that he would go ahead and strangulate the shit out of it for a couple days and it would just kind of like stretch it out. You know what I'm saying? So ultimately over here, we have another guy, Ukrainian man. He's been saved from castration by a team of surgeons and emergency services when they removed a metal nut from his penis that had gotten stuck on there. Let's just stop right there, okay? When you go ahead and do this, I always wonder if they ask, how in the hell did this happen? I mean, you've got to basically, like, book an appointment for this shit to happen, right? I mean, your nut doesn't just randomly jump inside of a fucking, or your dick doesn't normally just randomly jump inside of a nut and go, hey, listen, man, this feels wonderful here, right? No, fuck that. You've got to sit there and consciously go out and say, well, I should probably go get some lube over at the, you know, drugstore or whatever. No. Oh, I've got to go over and go shopping over in the Home Depot aisle. And I just that leads to another question, right? So when searching for the perfect nut to screw onto your dick to try and make it like a cock ring, do you go for smaller or larger? I'm wondering, are you a size queen or are you trying to actually go ahead and, I don't know, maybe like make it so it's like it fits comfortably, right? You know what I mean? Tight enough to go ahead and stretch it out and Qua comes in the room. Right now, perfect timing, Qua. Actually, for that, you need a nearly dead Ric Flair. Hold on a second. There we go. So Qua's with us. So the best part is in this story, the nut's diameter this time has not been revealed to, quote, spare the patient from blushes. Do we believe that for a fucking second, man?
How about news?
I'll tell you why we don't, because now what winds up happening is inside the story, where the emergency services people were very kind to the last guys, these guys are fucking assholes. The first one says this was his girlfriend giving him a chastity ring to the fucking press. So the surgeons were posed, this is what happens, right? You've got a guy sitting there. His dick is inflamed like you couldn't even imagine, swollen like crazy. Probably looking like a balloon about to be turned into a balloon animal by a clown somewhere. And then these guys sit there and go, so how did this happen? And he wouldn't go ahead and give him an answer. And then he's like, well, that's his girlfriend giving him a chastity ring, right? And then, as if that's not humiliating enough and it's not a big enough emergency, the surgeons posed with emergency rescuers after both took part in a delicate surgical procedure to successfully remove the metal nut from the patient's manhood. Quote, rescuing this part of the body requires special equipment, caution, and jewelry-like precision, explain the all-purpose rescue Kiev services, a team dealing with emergencies from fires to gas leaks to underwater incidents, as well as search and rescue, and apparently removing hardware nuts off of your dick when you get them caught on there. Expand the freaking scope of services here. Quote, along with the doctors, we managed to remove the screw nut from the man's penis. He was not hurt. Let's go ahead and talk about a couple things here, okay? The first thing I fucking love in this thing is the picture. Hold on a second while I get the picture of the absolute disaster of a fucking area that these people removed, did this surgical procedure on, right? Hold on 1 minute while LP goes ahead and gets a snip for you guys to see this shit. Oh, work with me. Stop being a fucking pain. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Yeah. Got the snip. Cool. All right. Check this shit out, right? So we go ahead and take a look. They're posing for a fucking picture in the work area. Now, this is what I love about this fucking thing. I love the picture in this article because it looks like they created like a makeshift operating theater inside like the corner dry cleaning shop at some random neighborhood in the Ukraine. They like cleared a place off the machines that they pressed the shirts with, grabbed a few finished shirts that still had the garment bags intact to put down like makeshift sheets to collect the blood and all that crap. And they just like picked up a disc sander at the local hardware store to remove this metal nut, casually strangling this dude's penis, right? I mean, holy fucking shit. I mean, the best part about it is, right, put that all aside, the fucking surgeons took the time to pose for a photo op with this dude's penis. Like they're shooting a porn box cover or like a trophy kill on an African safari. You know, with like zero sense of urgency. Before actually attempting to remove this nut from his penis. Fucking incredibly awesome. And look at this. Eileen's like, it's all fake news. Hey, listen, I only source the most reputable sources.
How about news?
I only source the most reputable sources over here, okay? All I can say is that's awesome. And you know what's even better? Is apparently, again, we have something. What I love is they're like, I believe the Amy Poehler story. Oh, what do you mean it's fake news? But I don't believe that whole dick story over there. But what's even better is we've got a fucking tabloid journalist sensation here who went ahead and discovered that there were two drunk gentlemen that suffered from swollen penises after injecting hemorrhoid cream in them so they could get some extra girth, right? So, two drunk guys from France watched a bogus YouTube tutorial describing how they could increase their penis size and decided to experiment on each other by injecting hemorrhoidal cream. Holy fuck. Hey, listen, you know something, Julia? It's a step up from people going to the hardware store and putting shit on their balls or grabbing some like industrial strength adhesive or doing something like that. I mean, there was a guy who basically got his dick stuck in, like, the floor sander when he put the buffer attachment on. That was terrible. And no, I won't go ahead and share that here. But at any rate, the drunken pair were inspired by a bogus YouTube video, at least it wasn't TikTok, that offered tips on how men can watch their penis grow. The video advised the men to inject their penises with an anti-hematoma cream, which is commonly used to treat hemorrhoids. I'm just going to ask one question here, right? My question is this. Why would you inject something that's designed to reduce the swelling in an area into your penis, hoping to increase the girth of it? I'm just asking. I'm just asking out of curiosity. You know what I'm saying? Hey, listen. Memo to you two drunk lads, okay?
Can I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Don't be putting reduction creams inside of places that you're trying to go ahead and expand. I would have had more respect if you'd gone ahead and put, like, joint filler in your dick. So next time, try that. So, like, here's the best part. Rather than going ahead and treating their own private parts, the two men agreed to experiment on each other. Let's just stop there for a second. Who in the fuck actually goes ahead and drops their drawers in front of their friend and says, hey, could you do me a favor? Could you take that syringe full of, like, hemorrhoidal cream and just like, I don't know, inject the whole thing into the dick, into my dick. I'm just wondering how the fuck this shit happens. So apparently they experienced a progressive painful swelling of the penis during the night and immediately went to the hospital the following morning. The rare experience led to, again, photos of the men's painful members being published in a medical journal. So, damn, let me just say this much. You want to talk about, like, the hold my beer version of Play Doctor? I think we discovered it. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, and I'm sure everybody else is here, this must be like a Grindr hookup that just went terribly wrong. You know what I'm saying? Had to be. Had to be. Well, according to Dr. Rich Vinay from the urologist from Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Birmingham, quote, this was never going to work out well, and there's a real likelihood there will be irreversible damage with long-term implications for their erections. You think? You fucking think? I mean, on the bright side, I suppose, they got their dicks published, and it'll probably get more views than if they'd opened up an OnlyFans page. Of course, you know, fame always comes with a price, right? Mother Nature knows best that she can, like, leisurely wait until 45 to really act on that threat of micropenises and infertility for males, because as long as we have influencers and social media platforms, we could do a much more efficient job on our own than without her help. And ladies, just don't worry about that, because ultimately at the end, there's always a solution for you, because now apparently custom male sex robots are the thing. And one lady thought that she'd like to share her experience. So hippie doll lover, and of course, that's her TikTok name, a married U.S. woman who shares photos of her bizarrely dressed male sex dolls, according to her profile. She claims she was in a polyamorous relationship with three doll brothers, as well as her human husband.
I mean, what the fuck?
How the fuck do they even keep this shit straight? That's all right. She added, quote, yes, I have a polyamorous relationship with Larry, Lance, and Landon. Everyone agrees with this arrangement. She even has a doll baby with her favorite synthetic partner, Larry. Over time, she intends to upgrade her son to an appropriate body until he's about school age and have that continuous storyline going on. And AMR's like, no, no, that shit would never fucking happen. So when asked about how her real-life husband reacted to her buying sex dolls, she said, quote, he's very uncomfortable at first, but now he's seen the positive changes in my life and how much more at ease I am, and he's becoming more okay with it. And I'm thinking about myself, dude, if he's so at ease with this shit, why isn't he providing a fucking quote? I'm just wondering. I'm just fucking wondering. But at any rate, this also, in that same story, comes after a sex bot evangelist Brick Dahlbanger, is giving curious viewers a taste of his life with real doll harmony on a new OnlyFans page. And he's dedicated to, quote, synthetic companionship in the development of affordable robotics. So if you want to go ahead and check out, Brick Dahlbanger's wonderful freaking, OnlyFans over here, it's $3 a month, and the fans get a peek backstage at the real doll factory, as well as explicit videos of his AI sex bot Harmony and other real doll maker models such as Tanya and Solana. So effectively, you get to see this guy, you know, go to town on these fantastic dolls. I'm just kind of curious, right? Do they show the videos of this dude like mopping up the jizz and cleaning the doll afterwards? Or is it just like all of the action shots without any of the residue and sticky nastiness that comes with it? I'm just saying, listen, if you're going to give us a behind-the-scenes peek, Mr. Dahlbanger, could you do me a favor and be sure to include, like, the behind-the-scenes and, like, the cleanup part of it? We'd all appreciate it. You know
Did
what I'm saying?
Can I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
So there you go, man. We had a disappointment with Amy Poehler. And just because of that, everybody's screaming fake news, even though my sources are reliable. But we've got a serious problem with men putting shit in their dicks, whether it's freaking hardware nuts screwed onto their dick or whether or not it's sticking syringes up their dick. One way or another, guys, just please stop. We're already working against Mother Nature. She's sitting here trying to ensure that we've got micro penises and infertility by 2045. You're not fucking helping by doing this. Stop watching the TikTok influencers. Good God almighty, please stop watching the TikTok users. Good Lord. Yeah, blame Canada. Exactly. All right, man, I got to take a break here. You know how it goes. Whiskey's calling. I need to go ahead and actually sit here and beat some more stuff up. Spotify, I'm looking at you. But we'll go ahead and give it a try, right? Hey, man, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. You're listening to Joculation here. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. Cultural attaché to the stars. Ringmaster of the shit show this evening. And it's been quite a fucking shit show tonight. But you know, it can only go up from here. At least that's what they say. I'm just sitting here laughing my ass off at Darcico's cat over there. I'm just like, because you know that the cat is exactly saying that. I will shit on every last thing that you own for this. Holy crap, man. It seems like the fucking sun is never going to come out over here. Wait a minute. It's nighttime. But that's not the point. My point is that in this beautiful spring day over here, we've got like, I don't know what, 4 inches of snow outside because fuck you, Mother Nature. I'm just saying, not even fucking funny. Speaking of shitting on everything. Wow. Wow. It'd be really cool if Mother Nature would cooperate. I mean, between that and freaking Spotify, both of you can go fuck yourselves. At any rate, man, hey, guess what? You're listening to Joculation and wow, man, I think I just shot my load. Did I do that? I mean, I'm just wondering.
How about new?
Bro, let me tell you something. We do a lot of, like, hard work over here. I'm the hardest working man in show business, right? Is that a fact?
How about new?
Fuck no. At any rate, so my point being is where the fuck is Normok? I guess I've offended him enough with all of my stuff. I think the Easter show, like, took him to a new level of I'm offended. But that's okay. That's okay. We still love Normok anyways, even though he may not like us. You know what I'm saying? Wow, man. We covered a lot of ground. And you know, we've only got about 30 minutes left in the show. So we've got to go ahead and cover even more ground. Is that right? I mean, you know. I love that. Everybody's going to ping him mercilessly. Hey, Normok, where the hell are you? Normok's body pillow. Oh my God, that'd be just terrible. But you know something? This whole freaking pandemic triggered this great old DIY craze. Normally, I spend you know, time talking about the NFT marketplace, like right around this time of the show, and talking about all the things. And one of the things that you guys should be aware of is we had this conversation. I guess it was in Crim's thing yesterday, where we were discussing, you know, how NFTs are actually kind of like real. And different people had different opinions about why and stuff like that. And the reality of the situation is, I think what made it like serious all of a sudden is when Kevin Smith is now creating a film that he's putting out as an NFT for people to go ahead and bid on, and the winner will be able to buy it, all the rights and all the distribution and all that shit, to go ahead and effectively decide if they want to distribute and market Kevin Smith's new film that's coming out, which is pretty fucking incredible. But this time we're not going to do that. We're going to be talking about how the fucking do-it-yourself pandemic craze is still alive and strong, which of course makes us all sit there and
fuck you're you.
You know, whoops, wrong button. I meant
that's
that
scary.
One. Right? But that shit's going on right now. So check this shit out, right? You know that people really need a fucking hobby or have taken it way too far? Hey, look, there's Normok. Normok's like, leave me the fuck alone, man. I didn't want to come to the show. That's okay, Normok. They're going to drag you in, kicking and screaming, man. So listen, man, you know that it's gone a little bit too far, and you probably need to get the fuck out of the house when you're, like, running around collecting all of your fucking hair. Whoops, wrong one. When you're doing, like, big old fucking fake tan fails over here. So one woman over on TikTok, of course, left a bunch of people in stitches after sharing what happened to her when she over-applied a little bit of that chemical tan shit. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, so, what the fuck?
Little Miss Jody Morris had layered up on the St. Moritz dark shade and decided to, like, redo the tan on her face after she got a little bit emotional and ended up, like, crying off the first layer. But, of course, you know, she kept it on long enough for us to all go ahead and appreciate just how bad of a fake tan this is. So hold on a second here. Let me go ahead and put the snip up so we can take a look at it. and laugh at it appropriately. Here we go. So she went a little bit on the dark side. And, you know, boom. Yeah. So it left people sitting in there going ahead and commenting, of course, because everybody had an opinion. But the best one said that she looked like Ross Geller from Friends, who once suffered a mortifying fail. So she might have gone ahead and fucking overdone it. Now, the greatest part about this is she went ahead and decided after she cried off the first layer, she had nearly 500,000 viewers saying, please tell me I'm not the only one who's had a fake tan fail. Well, the viewers went ahead and thought it was great. And again, I'm asking myself, why am I working so fucking hard to get attention? Maybe what I should do is... Dude, Julia, that is so epically awesome. Are you going to make that an NFT? Because if so, I will shill the shit out of it on my fucking 56 followers on Twitter. I swear to God. I'll be like, you got to buy my avatar with the fucking cute pigtails over here. That's what I'm saying. I told you I would rock the shit out of that. And the best part is that on top of that, I've also got the Deadpool fucking, what's his face? Bob Ross mug going on there. It like, dude, it's like peas and carrots. It's fucking beautiful. Hey, Acker Girl. So, yeah, she went ahead and said, you know, after her efforts went viral, because, again, anytime you go ahead and humiliate yourself, you must immediately put it on TikTok. So that way it goes viral and you get instant fucking attention, right? So then another one said it's the funniest thing I've seen in months. So what she does is she cries all this shit off, and she's like, so I wash it off and put a little bronzer on with some eyelashes, lip gloss, and it actually doesn't look too bad, to be honest with you. At least I can go to work. And I'm like, I don't know about that, but okay, you go with that feeling, yo. Now that is a freaking psycho clown. But yeah, I could get you the wig for real, says AMR. You know what? Hey, listen. I can just go ahead and steal Water Fairy Dances like Pink Wig, and I could easily go ahead and put it up there. It could put it on. You know what I'm saying? But am I going to do that this evening, guys? You know.
How about new?
Not going to fucking happen, but that's okay. Oh, my God. All right, listen. I'm going to do a PSA for Ron over here. You can't put dick pics in the room here. You can't put dick pics in the room. Dude, put it away like a four-year-old puts his hands in his underwear. All right? Put the dick pics away. There's another room for that, just not this one. You know what I'm saying? Normock's going to get offended if you keep doing that. And then we're going to lose Normock, and then there goes the show. But at any rate, man, back to DIY stuff. So you know you might have taken things just a little bit too far. When you might be running around your fucking house collecting all the fucking hairs that are falling in order to make extensions. So another TikTok user known as CocoLee379 amassed more than 21 million views documenting her hair journey online. After finding out that 40 to 200 hairs fall out per day, this chick calculated how much she'd lose in a year, and it was revealed to be a staggering 36,600 hairs. Let me just stop there. Bro, you need a hobby that isn't collecting your fucking hair from like all over the floor to make extensions. Oh my God. Oh my God. I know this pandemic has been hard and we've all found ways of dealing with it, but bro, stop collecting your fucking hair. So at any rate, she set herself to the challenge of collecting all of the fallen hair she finds. Whenever she spots a hair lying around, hey, listen, nine, all I can say is there's more important things in life than running around and, like, collecting your hair to create your own extensions, like, a year later. I'm just saying. You know? People make cliches about this. Paint drying, flies fucking. Hey, why don't you just collect all your hair and make some extensions out of it? So at any rate, you know. Whenever she spots it, she makes sure to pick it up. She deposits the hair into a plastic resealable bag until they're too full to fill anymore, and then she'll stick them one by one to a strip of double-sided tape, right?
I mean, what the fuck?
So she started the challenge over a year ago, and has since collected so much hair that she's able to make her whole own hair extensions. Oh my fucking God. Guys, ladies, she clearly needs a friend. Can somebody please go over? Granted, 21 million people needed to watch the actual car wreck. Can somebody please go over there and help this young lady get a friend? She really needs a friend bad. Oh my God. Not a bunch of enablers giving her a bunch of likes saying, hey, you're a great fucking reality show freak that I like to watch because I'm going to share this with everybody to see what a fucking disaster this is. We don't need to do that. We need to get her a genuine, true friend. I'm just saying. Oh my God. Holy crap, I've only got 20 minutes left. You know what that means? I cannot end this show without like a mandatory Dick Cheese hour. So you know what, kids? Get out your smoking jackets, get your martinis ready, and let's go ahead and just ease into the gentle swing of the Dick Cheese hour. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show. No, I will not be creating extensions during the break. You're listening to Joculation, or maybe you're not. And all I can say is, man, that fantastic sparkle avatar with some purple hair and some freaking kitty ears. Man, that dude is sexy as fuck. Look at him own that shit. Wow. I am so proud of him. So listen, man, we've come to the part of the show where we're going to go ahead and recap stuff because, holy crap, we're running out of time, kids. So let's see. If you missed the show, we went ahead and first started talking about shitty career choices, about Ron and his golden shower fetishes and how that translates into, like, training for the Amazon workers who were forced to pee in bottles and defecate in paper bags because, God forbid, they should actually have an opportunity to go take a shit without getting written up for, like, too long being on the road between deliveries and shit like that. And then we talked about the private jet setting Goldman Sachs CEO who turned around and said, you know what, working from home's an aberration. You fucking plebs need to be in the office and fuck you. Here's your 95 hours. And of course, the Goldman Sachs managers were like, oh no, they're going to leave. So we're going to have to go ahead and give them fruit baskets to let them know how much we love them. So apparently they feel that that is a competitive offer when considering their competition like Jeffrey's is offering them 2,000-pound Peloton bikes, and like Credit Suisse is giving everybody $20,000 bonuses for unprecedented workloads during this time. So, you know, it had the tin ear of like when Adidas went ahead and sent out their congratulatory emails, saw the Boston Marathon finishers in 2017 saying, congrats, you survived the Boston Marathon, not thinking about the 2013 Boston bombing. But, you know, that's okay. We suggested next time, to make it feel truly authentic, they really should just go ahead and give away like a commemorative participation medal made from the recovered bomb shrapnel of the 2013 bombing. So then that way it's a little bit more authentic and believable, right? And speaking of the authentic and believable, we talked about those wonderful Kodak moments that people started to do, such as the mom who her husband went ahead and effectively sent an uncropped photo after her birth to his entire fucking family so they could take a look at the goods downstairs. And it had been viewed more than 715,000 times. So, Hacker Girl, don't worry. Somebody went ahead and decided to rub one out to this like 715,000 times. So don't feel weird and strange and odd at this show. I don't know how you can laugh and actually, you know, masturbate to. But that's okay. He received more than 24,000 likes and 280 comments. And then we talked about just imagine what's going to happen. The horror that will happen when AI starts making those extra helpful recommendations, packagings, and like distributions without your knowledge, such as when this one woman, another TikTok user, talked about the facial recognition feature that went ahead and actually made it so that her, you know, naked video, which picked up her son's picture in the background on the refrigerator, went ahead and helpfully packaged it up with all the other pictures of her son and sent it off to her mom to let her know, hey, look, I'm not doing anything bad. And then, of course, we were terribly disappointed when we found a story about the Amy Poehler lookalike stripper who allegedly squirted vaginal fluid at cops in an effort to go ahead and actually, like, you know, have self-defense from the cops that were trying to arrest her. Unfortunately, it was a great big story that was fabricated by the World News Daily Report. We were terribly vexed, terribly disappointed, but The actual mugshot is a real one. Unfortunately, this woman wasn't squirting vaginal fluids at the police officers in self-defense. But that's okay. We came back right after the break and went ahead and talked again about this chronic problem of people taking hardware nuts to screw on their dicks in an effort to somehow behave as a cock ring, as some man over in the Ukraine went ahead and had to get saved by a team of surgeons who did not treat this guy like, I don't know, oh, geez, we should keep his identity a secret. No, they decided to pose for fucking photos like like with this dude's dick, like they were shooting a porn box cover or like, you know, taking pictures of a trophy kill on an African safari before actually attempting to remove the nut from his dick. And of course, everybody was screaming fake news. And then we learned about the two drunk dudes over in France that decided to inject hemorrhoidal cream in order to get extra girth in their dicks. And unfortunately, to the terrible, you know, dismay of everybody around us, I mean, are we all in dismay?
How about new?
They were unable to potentially reproduce. And boy, we're cleaning out the gene pool. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We need that. But don't worry, even though, like, Mother Nature is going to kill us men off within, or actually, like, you know, she's going to go ahead and, like, give us the wonderful the wonderful enhancement of micro penises and infertility by like 2045, it's okay, because women, we went ahead and talked about these male sex robots, and we looked at this one woman's family that she's got a polyamorous relationship where she's got three sex dolls and her husband, and she's even got like a sex doll son that she's going to go ahead and actually grow up. And so apparently it's all consensual according to her, but of course, remarkably and not unsurprisingly, her husband was not quoted in the piece. And then we learned about another guy who's got his $3 a month, like a real doll factory fucking. Yeah, cock ring, wrong story. Normak, don't worry. We thought about you when that story came up. You know how it is. It's all love, bro. All love. So we went ahead and learned about this guy's $3 a month, like OnlyFans site, where you can take a peek backstage in his real doll factory, as well as explicit videos of his AI sex robot Harmony and other real doll models. So if you feel like burning $3 a month to go ahead and watch that disaster, I would rather watch the cleanup videos, to be honest with you, because I don't know. I don't think I could stop myself from giggling. Then we had a woman who had her fake tan fail. We also had another woman who spent a year collecting all of her fallen hairs. And guess what, kids? That brings us like right to the end. And oh my God, 2 minutes to spare. You know what happens? Hey, listen, if you like Joculation, be sure to catch us next week. Hit greater than subscribe so we can go ahead and ping you mercilessly to death. Or follow me on LP Faust, you know, Twitter page. You can look at it clear, you know, further up in the thing over there. Shit, I'm running out of time fast here. So hey, listen. William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage. As we strut and fret across the stage of life, always be sure to ask yourself, why watch a show when you can be the show? It was great having you all come out. Thanks for everybody that came out. Thanks for people that came and left. And to all the bots that came in here, you know what? Go to that guy's fucking OnlyFans and star over there. You know what I'm saying? All right, man. This is LP Faust checking out. Take care. Good night. So long.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.